concerns that I'd like to share. And Joanne, we're gonna work out a thing. The prayer requests that we have each week, I'm going to try to give her the list, and we're going to put them out. And so if you don't want your name on the list, let us know. We'll take you off. But I think we all need prayer. We probably ought to put all our names on the list if we're honest. We will be giving you an opportunity to be in prayer throughout the week on that. But as I mentioned, we've had several families that have experienced loss recently. So continue to remember Amy and Christina, all your family. Continue to remember you and your prayers. Also, in what you are facing, we pray for you, we lift up for you, we strengthen you. We know that you've got, God will give you strength in all that you do. We continue to lift up the Ronnie Mitchell family and also Carol. The loss of a sister is big. It's major. And when you've done a lot of things together, you got a lot of memories, but there's some hurts that go real deep. And so lift up Carol, if you would. Phil and I and Howard and Mary had the opportunity to be at New Hope this Sunday. I mean, this past Thursday for the celebration of life for Vince Farrell, his wife, Jen. Very moving, very powerful service, but a loss that is very deep. And so we celebrated her life, but we also want to be in prayer. We want to be in prayer for Vince and for Bradley. For that road ahead will really require a village to help, because it's not an easy path to make or take. And so remember them in your prayers. Also, Jessica and Joanne, maybe y'all can give me an update on Ashley Friddle and Lynn Marie Smith. I know they're both facing some issues. We want to lift them up in prayer. I like to put people on the spot. Okay. Right. Okay. Right. That's right. Well, thanks for sharing, because we do believe in the power of prayer. In fact, later on I'm going to share a couple of stories about prayer. And so thank you for remembering that. Yes. Okay, so she is making some progress there. So we're glad to hear that. Also, continue to remember Lori, Mike, and Mary, and we're all glad you're here. But we all need strength each day, don't we? Because each day has its own set of challenges. And so we continue to remember you. Joanne Massey, not Joanne, but Joanne Massey, that was set behind on the last row. Yeah, okay, well, okay, I'll have to, well, see, now I learned something. So, although I've been here a while, I'm still a new kid on the block. So. She fell and broke her arm, so continue to remember her. Peggy Behringer, continue to lift her up. Phil has been ministering to her and keeping up with her, so keep her in your prayers. Juanita and Aubrey Vickers, Carolyn had Juanita called Carol this week, and so we had an opportunity to talk, and you've also seen the prayer request for Aubrey. It's a challenge and it's a winding road for him. But lift him up in prayer, because he's a strong believer and his faith is strong. and continue to lift him up and lift Juanita up. They're a team. They do listen to the services. So we lift them up and ask for God's strength. And we're thankful that they help each other. They know their Lord, and we can help them through prayer. So may we continue to pray. Ann Williams, Brandon Hudson, Emily Leeds, Dolores Farrell, Leanne, and Joni Rayensko. We continue to remember Ray. Gus Godwin, yes, thank you. I knew about that. Many of you know Gus Godwin. He passed, I think it was last Sunday or Monday or something. Monday. The funeral was, I think, Wednesday at Lowe's Grove. I got a lot of stories about Gus. He got me a good loan one time. I sure did appreciate it. Gus was always the same. Real easy to work with, pleasure to work with. He'll be missed. Continue to remember the family. Any others that we need? Jimmy, right. Okay. All right, we will do that. Anyone else? Okay. Yes, we will, because
he actually, I went to visit him first year, and his biggest concern was this was his 25th year working for Craft with Christ. They went around and worked
right.
For
the church. Right.
And he said, I wanted to make 25 years.
Right. Well, you know, he knew he knew what his ministry was, and he wanted to do it well. And, you know, persons, when they reach this point in life, they share with you the things that are dearest and most important to you. And it's so interesting that is the point that he shared, because that's a lot of who he is. I know it is, and then the way you tell it, that this is part of who he is. And so we do want to lift them up, because it's a transition that is made, and it's a transition that has consequences for those that are left behind and those that are going. Well, it's not consequences, it's rejoicing for those going forward. But, you know, I thank everybody for your willingness to share like this in the service, because prayer is so powerful and it's so important, and we want to lift people up. And so thank you for continuing to speak up, and if things that we don't mention, to keep adding, because it's important. We believe in the power of prayer, and that's part of who we are. People sometimes say, well, all you're going to do is pray. That's all you need to do. You start there. That's the beginning of everything, and allow God to work with you with the rest of it. May we go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we acknowledge our need for you. We cannot make it alone. We try. But your presence provides comfort. Your presence heals our soul. Dear Lord, we know you are the great physician. You can address our physical needs. You can address our mental needs. You can address our spiritual needs. Lord, help us to lean on you for that support that we need. Help us to find comfort in your shoulders and in your arms and in your embrace. Lord, help us prune us when we need it. Draw us close to you. Dear Lord, heal our families. Heal our communities. Heal our nation. Dear Lord, we are founded as one nation under God. But sometimes we drift. And dear Lord, maybe it's time now that we need to know more who you are. Maybe we still need to come, we need to know you better. We need to return to you and put our faith and our trust and our hope in you. Dear Lord, we ask that you bring revival through our land. And may it begin with us and in our local churches. And as we see the fullness of life, just what has come out in these prayer requests today, there is much that we can do as a body of believers. Help us to step up and to do it. And dear Lord, for each person and family mentioned here today, we lift them up to you. We place them on the throne of grace. And we ask for your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now I got my bag here today. We got two bags, by the way. And Phil had brought this out last week. It says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, which is where we were last week. And so we kind of wanted to keep that here. And today, for the little ones and the little ones at heart, I want to talk to you about staying connected. It's important to stay connected. Now, Carol has had trouble staying connected this week. If you don't mind, I'll pick on you a little bit. Her phone crashed. And so when your phone crashed, you realize just how isolated you are. We've been sharing a phone this week, and that's been interesting too, as well. But something important about these phones. They don't last forever, and they don't go on forever. In fact, what do I have here? A charger. Now, with technology going the way it's going, we might not need these before long. We'll see. But right now, when this thing starts where, you know, if you play a bunch of games, I know you play games on them, and I know you listen to music, and you have a lot of fun, there's a lot you can do. But you know, if you keep using it, and you keep using it, and you don't charge it up, see, we got a plug here, I don't know if it works or not, we can try, you can charge it up, but you got to stay connected, okay? And that's an important thing. You've got to stay connected. So let me ask you something. I got something here. And I like these. What do I have here? Grapes. Yeah, they're good too. And I've had some. They're good. They're real good. They're grapes, but what do you notice about them? Yeah, they're still connected partially to a vine. Now, you can see where it was tore off. Now, since it's tore off, eventually what would happen? They'll die because the life source is what? Not there. Now, we love grapes. But for them to grow and for them to mature, they've got to stay connected to the vine. And see, Jesus has told us a very important story, and he tells us something about himself. He says, I am the true vine. And you and I, we're the fruit. And we can be fruitful and productive as long as we stay connected. You find that verse in the 15th chapter of John, the very first verse, and then also the fourth verse. And so I ask for your parents and your those that are giving you care to read that to you this week and to talk about it. But as long as we stay connected, we're good. We can bear fruit. Now, how can you stay connected? Well, there's a lot of ways. You stay connected through the children's story and through the story that Miss Grace provides each week. You can stay connected by coming to church, and a bunch of you are over here this morning engaging, and a bunch of young at heart are engaging here in the sanctuary. In fact, we got it a good crowd all the way across, and we're glad everybody is here. But we can remain fruitful by being connected. We also can be connected through our daily prayers, and our parents and those and our grandparents and those that care about us, reading us Bible stories, talking to us about God and Jesus, knowing through the various games we play and the videos and the songs that we sing. There are a lot of ways we can stay connected. So like these grapes are connected, we want to stay connected to Jesus. And here's what we want to remember. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves all creation. Jesus loves you. God loves you. Your parents love you. Your church loves you. And boy, we can be thankful for that. We'll see you again next week. God is faithful, and may we be faithful. Great is God's faithfulness. May our faithfulness also be constant and consistent. And may we find our rest and our step and our source of being in Christ. This morning, I want to talk to you about Jesus as the true vine and the importance of staying connected and bearing fruit. Staying connected and bearing fruit. Life can be a mixture of all types of things. We know that. This has been an unusual year. Amen? Amen. It affects us in all different kinds of ways. But guess what? Where are you today? You're in the house of the Lord. Why? Because you want to be. That's important. That's important. You see, sometimes we kind of let things throw us off course. Sometimes we might move to an attitude like this. Whatever. You ever said that? Whatever. What does that mean? It means I don't want to be bothered. Leave me alone. Let me withdraw from this. So, yeah, whatever. Yeah. And, you know, we say it a lot, but maybe we realize that sometimes what we're facing is a growth process, and God's working on us, and God's working with us. That's why he took the trouble to give us a Savior who is the true vine. That's why he went to the trouble to allow us to stay connected to him. Because we know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And he is the real vine. And if we remain in him, we will be fruitful. But we have to remain in him. And see, that's the problem. That's the thing that gets us into some issues. And so I want to share with you a passage of a different vineyard. This vineyard is God's vineyard. And the vineyard is Israel. And God is talking through the prophet Isaiah about a vineyard that wasn't producing fruit. Now, when we think about that vineyard that's not producing fruit, may we not just think about what Isaiah was relating to Israel, to Judah, and to Jerusalem? But may we also think about, well, what about our own lives? What about our families? What about our church? Are we bearing the fruit that God has planted? The seed, are we fruit bearing? Or is there something else going on? So let me share with you Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. This is called the Song of the Vineyard. It goes like this. I will sing about the one I love, a song about my beloved one's vineyard. The one I love had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He broke up the soil, cleared it of stones, and planted it with the finest vines. He built a tower in the middle of it and even dug out a wine press there. He expected it to yield good grapes. In other words, when God does something, God does it for good. It is something good. It is something intended to be good. It is something that is intended to grow, to flourish. But note what happened. Now, everything was done at this point. But it yielded worthless grapes. That's where I want us to all take a personal note, all of us. Are we yielding good grapes? Are we yielding worthless grapes or some kind of mixture of both? So now, residents of Jerusalem and men of Judah, please judge between me and my vineyard. What more could I have done for my vineyard than I did? Why, when I expected a yield of good grapes, did it yield worthless grapes? You know, when we get sidetracked, what happens? Things that maybe we intended to do, we what? We don't do. Goals that we intended to hit, we don't make. And in times like these, it's easy to get sidetracked. We know that. We're constantly navigating the landscape. Now I will tell you what I'm about to do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it will be consumed. I will tear down its wall, and it will be trampled. I will make it a wasteland. It will not be pruned or weeded. Thorns and briars will grow up. I will also give orders to the clouds that rain should not fall on it. Those are sobering words, aren't they? For the vineyard of the Lord of armies is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah, the plant he delighted in. He expected justice, but saw injustice. He expected righteousness, but heard cries of despair. Now, that ought to send some chills up you. It does me just reading it. It lets us know that God has a plan and a purpose for each one of us, and that we are in His care. But the way this sounds, it's almost as if God is abandoning us. But He didn't, because He sends us what? A Savior. I'm going to keep going back. Oh, what a Savior. Because now I want to ask you to turn to John 15. And let's look at this vineyard. God doesn't leave us hanging. God loves us, and God cares about us. And so in John 15, verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father, the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, He removes. Now that kind of goes back to the Old Testament there, doesn't it? Kind of goes back to Isaiah there. He removes. And He prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce what? More fruit. See, pruning, while we may not like it, is intended for good. It's intended for growth. It's intended for development. You know, I keep going back to that thing in James, count it all joy. We have trouble doing that, don't we? And sometimes I think God is pruning us so that we can learn how to do that, to count it all joy, to produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. That's that atonement for sins. We are forgiven. We are redeemed people. Remain in me and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. That is the bottom line of today. I don't need to say anything else. That's it right there. Verse 4. Remain in me and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains in the vine. Now, science is trying to be real funny about that and fancy about that right now, but God is still in control. Neither can you unless you remain in me. See, Christ is our life source, our lifeblood, the vine. We want to stay connected no matter what we face. And sometimes when we are going through some pruning, all the more reason to remain connected and grow and flourish. We cannot do it by ourselves. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and he withers. They gather them and throw them into the fire and they're burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. Ask. Remain. Abide. Many of you have a translation that's saying abide. Abide and remain is the same thing. Remain in Christ. Now, we go through periods of time in our life where we're closer and further apart, don't we? And circumstances bring us closer and sometimes drive us further apart. And as churches, sometimes we are more faithful and sometimes we are less faithful. I am convinced that the redemption of the church and the reclaiming of the church is the reclaiming of the gospel and that great commission. The Great Commission is the one thing that Jesus asked us to do when he ascended back to heaven. Go, therefore. Go. Where? Everywhere. Teaching. Sharing the gospel. Baptizing. I'm still. These waters are going to flow. Lord, bring the people here. Bring them. Help us to go out into the world and to share your good news, to share the gospel, to share your love, to bear fruit. See, maybe we've missed something. If we can be very attuned to what bearing fruit is, and I'm going to talk about some of this fruit in a minute, people will interact with us because the Bible tells us something. The harvest is plentiful. What's the catch? The workers are few. Exactly. The harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. So here we have it. And then it goes on. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. So, what about this bearing of fruit? Let me share with you just a few reflections. Paul in Galatians talks about the fruits of the Spirit. I'd like to think that that's some of what Jesus had in mind when he talked about us bearing fruit. And you know, circumstances impact us. They mold us. And sometimes for those fruits to flourish, we have to be able to embrace life in all its fullness and ask for God to see us through it. So let me share with you what I think would be some examples of pruning. And some of this hopefully will be a little humorous, but it's very serious. want to go back to the fruits of the Spirit. The first one is love. Unconditional love. We're okay with that, right? We believe it. You love people no matter what. Until you encounter somebody in your life, it's hard to love. Yeah, you get the point, don't you? That's the pruning. Those that are hard to love. Joy. Oh, we like joy. As Phil was saying Thursday with Bobby McFerrin, be happy. Joy. Until some unexpected event rains on your parade. And the rain does come, doesn't it? Do we count it all joy? Or is God pruning us? Peace. Peace. We like peace. I remember the movie with Andy Griffith, No Time for Sergeants, and the drill sergeant that they had there. And he says, don't make waves. Don't make waves. Of course, everything he was getting was waves. We pray for peace until we encounter somebody who's passive-aggressive. And it's hard to be peaceful, isn't it? So these hit home. Patience. Traffic. Long lines. You dial a number, and you're put on hold. I remember something I had to do when we had an issue with identity theft. And I was put on hold with the IRS, I know this is going out, for an hour and a half. Got it resolved, though. I guess that's patience. But you have to be willing to be pruned. Kindness. We love kindness. We want people to be kind to us. So how do we respond when somebody's rude? We will encounter rude people. We will encounter people that will take advantage of us. Goodness. Rabbi wrote a great book, Rabbi Kushner. Bad things happen to what? Good people. They do. But God is good all the time, even in the midst of that. God is still good. Faithfulness. Murphy's Law. Why would I say that? It's easy to be faithful when things are what? Going your way. But what happens when Murphy sets in? Everything that could go wrong, what? Will go wrong. I got to get off of this. Is God pruning us? Gentleness, having a gentle spirit along with kindness. But what happens when you've just been strong-armed or you know that somebody's taking advantage of you because they want to get something from you rather than caring about who you are? See, we know about those, don't we? But how do we learn to count all of that joy? That's that pruning process. And I want to say this last one, because I have trouble with this one a lot. I have trouble with all of them, to be honest with you. Self-control. Let me give you this scenario. You've waited in line for 15 minutes. Okay? I won't name a place, but you know where I'm going. Because you've been in that line. You've waited in line for 15 minutes for takeout. And you finally got up there. And, of course, the persons that are behind you are in just as much a hurry to get out as what? You are. So do they want you to sit there and check through everything? No. You might get a few horns starting to honk at you. And then you get home. Yeah, you know where I'm going. And what happens? You open your bag. Half of what you ordered isn't there. And what is there isn't right. And you say, oh, my, my. You see, to bear those fruits of the Spirit, God prunes us. And I have to admit to you, I've only felt this strong about this recently. And I kept thinking, God, what is next? What is next? What is next? And then it dawned on me. I said, yeah, I'm asking for this, this, and this. And God's saying, yeah, and I'm helping you do that. I'm pruning you. I'm helping you to bloom. I'm helping you to bear that fruit. And I said, okay, Lord. I know I got a hard head. I just didn't realize it was that hard. But pruning. We also stay connected to Jesus. And this is getting us into our life applications, by the way. How do we go through God's pruning? Well, we want to bear the fruits of the Spirit. But we have to address life to do it. Another is we can stay connected through prayer, and we can stay connected through Bible study. We can do this daily. And that's why I'm glad that the lists are going out. And edit the list that I gave you and I'll give you some additional from what we had today. But prayer is so important. Now, I want to take the liberty, those of you that were at the celebration of life for Jen Farrell heard me tell this story, but I want to share a story about prayer. And then I want to add another one. I did not come up with these stories. These are stories that are told by Mark Batterson. Many of you have read the book, The Circle Maker, and there are several books associated with that. Batterson tells the story of a chaplain by the name of Cecil Richardson. He was in the Air Force, and he knew he needed some glasses, and he had kind of been putting it off. And he woke up around 5:30 on a Saturday morning, and he had this prompting that he needed to go get glasses. So he got up, and since the stores didn't open until about 9 o'clock, he went out and got him something for breakfast. So he goes to an optical place, didn't really have one in mind. He just went to one that was close by. And he encounters a worker there, a young woman. And he comes in and says, I'm Chaplain Cecil Richardson. And as soon as he had done that, he thought, man, they're thinking I'm wanting to tell them that I'm a chaplain so that I can get my discount at this point, that I can get some favor there. When he told the woman that he was a chaplain, started to cry. Tears are powerful, because here's the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. The day before, she had gotten some bad news, news that could be life-threatening. She and one of her friends prayed that God would, because her husband was in the military and was overseas. She prayed that God would send who? A chaplain. And who showed up? A chaplain. That's a true story. I'm not making that up. That's a true story. Or Ken Gaub, an author, Christian writer, had been on television shows and things like that. He was traveling up I-75 with his family. They were going on a trip. And they stopped right around Dayton, Ohio, to get something to eat. Well, Ken had been riding for quite a while and just got out to walk around and stretch his legs a little bit. So his family went on into the restaurant. He started walking around. There was a gas station nearby. Now, this is an older story. because in a different time period, and you'll get it as soon as I give you this next information. He was walking by the gas station, and he heard the phone ring in the payphone booth. You don't even see those much anymore. I don't even know if you see them at all. But that kind of lets you know. Well, thinking that it might be an emergency or something like that, he went and answered the phone. Now, a lot of us would have probably just what? Kept on walking. But for some reason, he answered it. And the operator asked for Ken Taub. Yeah. Asked for him. He said, "I am Ken." He said, "Let me connect you to the person on the other end." Person by the name of Maria, we'll leave it there, picked up the line and said, "I wanted to speak to you." She said, "I'm about to commit suicide, but I wanted to give God one more chance. I had prayed that maybe I could speak to you, but I didn't know your number. God gave me these numbers and I wrote them down. Do I need to say any more?" That's unbelievable, isn't it? But it's very believable because that is the God we serve. The odds of that happening, if you wanted to go with probabilities, is so small. But nothing is impossible for who? God. And that's why we want to stay connected to God. That vine is so, so critical. So, as churches, may we not conform to the culture, but may our minds be transformed by the gospel. And may we share it freely with everyone. We don't judge. We share the gospel. We share the good news. Unconditional love, mercy, grace, child of God, favor. May all of us cultivate those fruits of the Spirit. And may we make a difference in this world. If we will stay on the vine, it will happen. Amen. Now, we are all sinners. And as Christians, we live lives that have been redeemed. If there's something missing in your life and you're hearing this message today, if there's something missing in your life, could it be Jesus? Pray the sinner's prayer. We're all sinners. But Jesus forgives our sins. He conquers death. He offers us unconventional love. He is our lifeblood. Allow His blood to run through your and my veins. Accept Him as your Lord and Savior. And you can do it right where you are. And if you make that decision, get involved. Ask God to lead you to a local church. Our doors are always open, Berea Baptist Church. Allow God to speak to your heart. And join with others that are sharing in the ministry of the good news. If you want to reaffirm your commitment, you can do that today. Remember, the harvest is plentiful. May we be dedicated workers, committed to bringing in the harvest. So as we go forth today, may we be strengthened and reassured by the promises of God. Now, I don't know if you paid attention to the very first song that Carol played this morning. Some of you may have not been in yet. It was called If My People. So I'd like to end just as we began. So from 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who bear my name humble themselves, pray and seek my face, and turn from their evil ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. And all God's people said, Amen. So following the last music, those of you that need to leave, by all means do so. We'll have a brief business meeting. Phil?